How are you doing? We had a good long weekend last weekend. Relaxing. We went away down the coast. It was very windy, incredibly windy last week. We were staying in a place where a tree fell on a caravan. It wasn't ours, praise God. The power went out. And it was exciting. You put the candles on, the kids get really excited. All the technology goes, everything's gone. You all look at each other going, what did we do before iPhones? But it was fantastic. It's exciting. We bonded. Isn't it good to bond without power? I'm on the armor of God. Ephesians. And let me just read Ephesians 6:10. Before I do, though, big shout out to the men's ministry guys, Anthony and Richard and Naboth. What a great breakfast we had. Brilliant. And if you haven't been to a men's thing, you missed the first one. But they're brilliant. And there was just such a sense of, I don't know, unity, getting together and accountability. Ladies, kick your guys. Kick them out of the house on a Saturday morning. It'll be once every 6 weeks or so, and send them off. And we launched our man's zone, the man cave. We've got a pool table upstairs. Yeah, and all the guys said, yeah. So no women allowed. It worked really well. You know, something about us guys, we're just not natural conversationalists. Some people are, some guys are, but the majority, we're not. We've got to be doing something when we want to talk. You know what I mean? We've got to be watching the football or playing basketball or playing pool, playing cards or something. We're not comfortable with just sitting, by and large, sitting opposite each other with just, you know, unless you get to really know someone. But we just sort of look at each other and, yeah, how'd your team go on the weekend? Good. Yeah. Okay, you should about do it. I got to go now. So we need activity. So when you have a pool table and you're shooting pool, then you can chat about everything. Is it true? Is this true? And so we're doing that for our young guys. We're getting all these Nerf guns. I've been buying Nerf guns. I am so into Nerf guns. Because I took on the task of getting them for the church because I like to get a bargain. So yesterday I drove to Lane Cove and I drove to Punch Bowl and I filled up my boot. I had to go to a party all the way over, feels like at Pittwater, Northern Beaches. And I arrived and my boot was filled with Nerf guns. Who's excited about Nerf guns? It's all the guys, right? And there's like machine gun ones that, and I've got these boxes of bullets. And last night, Marianne was laughing. I came out. I had all these machine gun built Nerf straps around me and two machine guns. And she just looks at, just goes, you're an idiot. I just felt so powerful firing foam darts. Is there any other guys like that? Anyone like that? Any girls like that? Oh, join the crew. So it's just going to be a lot of fun. So I've had, you know, so we're setting it up for our youth. We're starting a new younger age youth group, and you've got to get all these things. And we've got to get, my wife's making us get protective goggles because you just got to. It's only right. But the boys, this week, the boys had a sleepover, and apparently Brad got shot in the eye twice. Is that right, Brad? So obviously just not skilled, dodging bullets. And then the girls had a sleepover. The boys, they had Nerf walls all night and hung out. And on Friday night, the girls had a sleepover. And I walked in here and there was a pile of hair straighteners. And then there was a pile of makeup. And I looked at it and went, is that fun? But they loved it. They had such a, there were about 25 girls here and they stayed the night. And they had a ball. How you could have a ball with a pile of hair straighteners, I don't know. Kim's shaking her head going, don't know. You'd rather be in the Nerf guns, Kim? Yeah. But anyway, boys and girls are different. Isn't that true? Ephesians 6:10. Andrew, get onto the word. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking up the shield of faith, for which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. For me, the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen? So we're up to verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now the Roman soldiers, sandals. Sandals were cool back then. Certainly not anymore. But who remembers the days where you wore? Did anyone wear Roman sandals? They were called Roman sandals when I grew up in New Zealand. Do they have them here in Australia? They're still called Roman sandals. Yeah, from the Romans, sandals. And then you know your parents made them look really bad by wearing socks. And I think my dad used to go out at wintertime with his white socks and the Roman sandals, and you're just like, no. Did anyone else's dad do that? Yeah, okay, all right. And just mine. Now people wear socks and thongs. Pretty sure I saw someone in this room doing that. But anyway. So they were thick, and they had a very thick leather sole, and they were studded. With the Roman sandals, was studded with like a nail, a protruding nail that used to come out of that sandal, and that was for stability. Because obviously, if you're a Roman soldier, you were pushing back, you were fighting. They used to have this thing called studo, where they would put all their shields together, and they would just march in formation like this, and they would push back their enemy, and they were almost they were like the first form of a tank. Because their shields were, someone would hold the shield up and someone would hold it forward and have these big javelins that would come out and they would just march like this and then they would just brace each other. And any other opposing army that wasn't organized would just be pushed back because they would just keep marching little steps and they'd just keep going like this. And they'd have these sandals with these nails that were just giving them every step was gripping the ground, so that they could push the enemy back and just drive them. And that's how the Romans won for hundreds of years. They won battle after battle and they were just undefeatable because of this strategy. So when we're looking at this, so why are our sandals made out of the preparation of peace? What was Paul talking about? Why would he bring the analogy of the armor of God? Why would he bring it up? You know, the single biggest statement that I've ever heard, done quite a few funerals in my life, the biggest single statement I've heard out there is that people want to find peace with God. True? And it's a desire out there, whether people know it or not, when you speak to an unsaved person, if you bring up that topic about have they made their peace with God, it's like a big topic, and it's sometimes you can just slip it into a conversation. Oh, because it's a big deal, because there's a lot of people out there that have a sense that they need to make peace with God, but they don't know about the gospel and they don't quite know how it all works. They don't know how it plays out. But they just have a sense that they need to make peace with God. And there's especially a lot of religious people, you know, with a very strong Catholic upbringing, and you know, maybe they haven't really stepped into a relationship with God, but they've grown up in a strong Catholic or Orthodox background. And you start talking about making peace with God, and it kind of flips them. It gets into their heads because they have this sense. Because across right now, if we stepped out of these doors and just walked into the streets that are around us, there is conflict that's going on. There's a spiritual conflict that's going on out there, because there are souls all surrounding us right around here, right around where we stand. There's souls, and I'm going to put it into that term instead of talking about a person. There are people with souls that are in conflict right now because they do not have peace with God. There is a wrestle going on in your friends and your family members and your neighbors, whether you can see it or not. And I think for us as believers, we've got to realize that man is wrestling. There's a conflict going on because people are designed to make peace with God. Amen? And sometimes it's not a bad way to open a conversation. You can say to someone who doesn't, "Have you made your peace with God?" And they'll go, "Well, what does that mean? Well, have you got your life to a place where you know that you and God are right?" And quite often, that's a big topic for people. And that's it. I've found, you know, sometimes when my circles that I mix in, it's a good way of opening the door to the gospel. They go, "Oh, you know, well, I'm a sinner. You know, I don't know if God's going to accept me." Well, he can. You can be accepted by God. Can I do you want me to tell you how to make your peace with God? So there's a spiritual battle around the lives of those that are around us. And the devil has a claim over every soul. Every soul, the devil has a claim over it, like a land right claim over every soul that's not given to Jesus. Are you with me? They're not at peace. There's a wrestle, there's a battle. And you know, something Tash said, you know, it was actually Richard, said, you know, God doesn't do anything without us. And right around your life, the devil has a claim over your friends, souls. He's got a claim over your neighbors. He's got a claim over your work, your relatives. He's got a claim over their souls until they find peace in Jesus. So there's a battle. There's a spiritual battle. There's a wrestle that goes on. And I think we've got to realize how powerful this peace is that we have on our lives, that comes from the revelation of the gospel. Amen. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was put upon him." So you don't understand. If you're sitting in this room and you're a believer, sometimes we're not aware, but you wake up every day with the peace of the gospel residing over your life. You know what that's like? Who in this room could literally remember the day when you gave your life to the Lord? I know some of you have sort of grown into Christianity, but you just remember when you woke up and there was a peace in your soul. I remember 21. I remember the day before I went to church and gave my life to God. I remember the wrestle that went on, the wrestle in my, I could never get this peace. I remember lying in my bed out the back of Baulkham Hills, sitting in there, and I remember just waking up that next morning and just feeling a peace that I couldn't even explain. I couldn't really put it into words, but it had just settled on my spirit. And there wasn't that fight and struggle anymore. Amen? And I think for us in this room, we need to realize what that is and how powerful that is. And sometimes we take it for granted. Amen? And you've got to realize that the people around you don't have that. If they do, if they have not accepted Christ, they do not have that peace. And you can guarantee it, whether they look like they've got it together, whether they're sharp and they talk positive and they talk securely about their lives and they talk as if everything's perfect, you can know that you know that you know that you know that inside of them there is a wrestle going on. Because the Word of God says everyone is created to know Christ. Therefore, there is a battle, there is a wrestle, and the enemy is doing his bet, and he's got his claim on their life, and he's fighting to keep that claim, because the last thing he wants is for the Prince of Peace to put his claim over their life. Amen? And sometimes, you know, I think it can help us when we talk to those around us. Because I know I've talked to some people that just seem like their lives are just so together. You know what I mean? It's almost like they don't need God. No, no, it's all good. Marriage is good. Finances are doing well. Life's good. And you just got to look through that and realize inside of them there's a struggle going on. 1 Colossians 18, verse 19 to 24. It pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. You know, I think I've mentioned before, I've been asked if, can you, Pastor, you know, when you pray or something, just for the sake of unity and oneness with religions, you just not mention that Jesus, the way you talk about Jesus, has been the way, the only way? Can you just lose that part? Can you just say that he's a way to God? And then you read this. For it pleased his Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you kind of, and I was asked to do some interfaith thing, and I just said, I can't do that. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. I said, I can't. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's not a way. I'm sorry about that. And they went, oh, really? Just for the sake of it? I said, no. I said, I'm sorry. I'll go. I'll be there. But if you're going to ask me to do that, I won't do that because I can't do that. And that's the end of that. Okay. All right. No problem. You leave it. Because Christ is the way. True? I can't go and tell someone that there's going to be peace in their soul for anything other than them accepting Christ. I can't. I'm not going to hate people for a different way of thinking. I'm not going to, but I'm going to be true to the gospel and what it stands for. We have peace with God through Christ. True? Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in the flesh the enmity that is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances. What that means is that there is a penalty on us. There is a fight between us and God. You're at odds with your heavenly Father outside of Jesus. Amen? You're at odds. There's a wall. There's a separation. Pure light can't dwell with darkness. You can't be connected to God. Technically, it's impossible for you to be in close relationship with your heavenly Father outside of Jesus. Technically. But I'm a good person. I'm an amazing person. I don't get it. But if you believe what Jesus said, I love Jesus. He's beautiful. And he accepts everyone. Well, he does, but he's not going to go against his own gospel. And no one can be accepted by the Father except through Jesus Christ. And you can be lovely, you can be beautiful, you can give to charity, you can be a philanthropist, you can be a beautiful person, but technically, you can't dwell with God. Because he's pure light. And last week, I know there's a few people here. Last week, the best analogy to describe that is infrared. It comes back to Nerf walls as well. Nerf guns, sorry, is infrared. Infrared. The only way that you can effectively see in nighttime, turn night into day, is with something called infrared. The army use it so that they can see. And God is perfect light. And outside, when you've got one bit of sin in your life, you are darkness. You can't dwell with your Heavenly Father. You're disconnected. But our Heavenly Father, when he looks through the blood of Jesus, which is flowing over your life, he can see us all, and we're perfect. Amen? We become light. Are you with me? It's an analogy. So technically, it doesn't matter how good you are, but if you want to believe Christianity and the gospel, you can't. It's just, you just can't do it. That's why we say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Is that okay? So when we've done this, let me just finish this commandment. So as verse 16, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. This fight between us and God is put to death through Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen? And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Amen? That's the gospel. We live in this place of peace with God because of Jesus Christ. So how does these shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace, as it says, as Paul says, how does it affect and protect our lives as believers? So without a sandal on, I mean, a soldier can have the biggest sword in the world. He can have the biggest shield. He can have a breastplate going. He can have the full tunic. He can have all the armor in the world. He can have the helmet, javelin, the whole bit, the whole box and dice. The Roman soldier could have been all geared up. But as soon as he stepped out of his barracks and started walking on that hard, stony, hot Middle Eastern ground, it would have been, imagine the whole army going, hold my sword. I mean, I grew up in New Zealand where you just were raised to run with bare feet. It's just the way it was. You know, right up to about age, 13, you went to school, you took your shoes off. As soon as you had to wear them in the classroom. You put them back on in the classroom. As soon as you got outside, you took them off again. This is New Zealand. No snakes, no spiders, no poisonous things. Different. Over here, you feel like you need protective clothing right the way over you. Kevlar. But we just ran, and I could run across, that bitumen that's got the stones. I could run across that. And, maybe in the heat of summer where the tar was melting, you'd pick it off and just sort of brush it, the sticky tar off your feet. Your feet were tough. Breed them tough in New Zealand. Now I could barely walk across our tiles at home. I walk out across some fresh grass and it feels like, is it a bindi? No, it's not. It's just the grass. It becomes soft. So can you imagine a soldier, how ineffectual a whole army would be without their sandals on? How pathetic. Imagine all the Roman soldiers. It just would be a mess. They wouldn't have the grip. They wouldn't have the ability. They used to march for hours and days and days. You'd have all these soldiers sitting on the side, rubbing their feet. You'd have, feet massages and spas going. It wouldn't work. We can't stand. Without the gospel, for you as a believer, without the peace of God resonating in your soul, you cannot stand as a believer. Amen? You can't do anything. If you're in a church And maybe you've never really come to a full revelation of what the gospel is. You're not going to stand as a Christian. It's not going to make sense to you. It's not going to work for you until you get your head around what the true gospel is. Amen? And I've seen people literally sitting in churches. I had people that I know that have been right in church for years, and they really never really came to an understanding of really who Christ was. Your faith won't stand without a true revelation of the gospel. It brings such protection to your life. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you the first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures." Unless we have that, our faith stands on the gospel. It's a revelation of who we are. And you might think, well, Andrew, that's obvious. But there are some people that struggle with the gospel and they're in church. I've literally heard people going, arguments with me, going, yeah, do you really think Jesus is the only way? Are you sure? People that have been in church for years. And I'm like, are you for real? You know, you need to pull yourself back and get a personal revelation of the saving power of God in your life. Amen? It's okay to have a question like that if you're in a church. If you're a part of that, that's fine. But don't, your Christianity won't progress unless, because it stands on the revelation of the gospel. Nothing will make sense. Doing something, obeying Jesus, living as a Christian, trying to live life, praying for God to move in your life, praying by faith for things to change, bringing faith into any area will be flawed without a true revelation that Jesus is the way. Amen? It won't make sense. Coming to church won't make sense. There's so many things that will just not make sense. If you're in that place, we have a new Christians course. I encourage you to keep asking questions until you get to a place that you get a personal revelation. And I ran New Christians, you know, for quite a few years at Hillsong. And sometimes people would come back and do it two or three times just because they had to get it. It took them that long to get a true revelation. And if people make a decision down here on a Sunday or somewhere in a church service, that does not mean that they've got a revelation of the gospel yet. Some of them, people get it straight away, but some people, it's like a year later, and they go through this course and they ask questions, and suddenly, sometimes in their bedroom at home, they might have made a decision here, but 6 months later in the bedroom at home, they get a full revelation, and they get exposed to their own personal relationship with God. And then they know that he is real. So whatever time it takes you, that's not the issue. Thank you, Sheila. Finishing my sentences. Awesome. 1 Corinthians 15:3, that Christ is the Son of God, that he died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen? Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Second thing a soldier would be able to do with his sandals on is move to advance to his purpose. So first of all, he would stand as a soldier, just armed up. But then, with these sandals on, he was able to actually do what he was called to do. He was actually able to be a soldier. He was actually purposed to be a soldier. He was trained to be a soldier. In a lot of cases, born to be one. And he was that aspect of what we do. Your purpose in life comes from your revelation of the gospel. There's two aspects to the shoes we wear. The first one, the soles that keep us going over hard ground. That's what your sandals will protect you. They'll keep you going over hard ground. And the second one, the souls will equip us to allow our lives to offer somebody out there that doesn't know who Christ is. Those are the two things that Paul's trying to bring out of this analogy with these sandals. So the first one, the souls that keep us going over hard ground. I mean, how long can you walk on hard ground? Seriously. It's not long, is it? True? It's pretty short. Literally right now, at the front strip of my house, I've got bindies. I don't know when they popped up. And I did the bolt. It was this couple of nights ago. Did the bolt out to Marianne's car, which is parked outside. And I'm just walking out there, bang, into a bendy patch, bendy all through my feet. I'm in pain. I'm like, this is bad. So, you know, bendies, they're nasty, right? Am I just soft? But I had them all over my feet. Thanks, Dave. And it was painful. Now I go to the car, I go around the edge, the little concrete strip like this to get to the car, tick, tick, leaning over to get something out of the car. And I went and bought some bendy killer, literally. And then I thought, yes, I'll get it. But I just mowed the lawns, and it says you can't do it for 7 days. Got to wait. So I can't survive. You can't survive. You can't walk through tough times in your life as a believer. You can't fight without the revelation of the gospel. Are you with me? If your Christianity is not based on a true revelation of Christ, you will not walk through tough times. You see, everyone in this room is created for a purpose. God creates you for a purpose. He gives you a purpose. You are created with a purpose in mind. When he thought of a Luke Harris, he decided what he wanted to do on this earth, and he created a Luke Harris to do it. That's why you're not competing with anyone else. You're in your own race. Amen? And so your purpose, when you understand you're saved, you understand that you are created for something that God has called you to do here on this earth. And it's so your purpose and your salvation are entwined. And so when you get a true revelation of being saved, you'll get a true revelation that your life has purpose. And I can tell you, without purpose, it's very hard for you to go through tough times, to walk on tough ground. Are you with me? Those soldiers, they had a purpose. They were going to fight a war, another army. And they would march over the toughest terrain for weeks and months on end because they had a purpose. A whole army had a purpose. They were going to fight the Gauls or whoever they were fighting, barbarians in those times. No matter what army they were up against, they would just march together. They had purpose. And there was no doubt in their mind what they were called to do, and they would travel, they would go through snow, and then they were back in desert, and they'd go through lush ground, and they'd go through all sorts of terrain. And what I'm trying to say is, if you as Christians, without a true, when you get a true revelation of being saved, at the same time, you get a true revelation of your purpose. Amen. And you know what? You can put up with tough times when you've got a purpose. Amen. Your marriage has a purpose. If it's going through a tough time and you're in faith and you're marching, you're like, okay, all right, I've got a purpose. Your business, if it's got a purpose, it's centered in your salvation, it's centered in who you are in God, then you going through tough times, you've got a purpose. You can get through this. True? Your finances, what other area of your life, and when you've got, you realize that you are saved and God's saved you for a purpose, then you can get through things. I can get through. If someone had told me, you know, for me, that the idea, the purpose to plant a church and start a church, my goodness, if I'd have thought about all the things, the tough ground I have to travel over, I would, without that purpose of salvation and what God's called me to do, I would have just given up. It's just too hard. True? But when you know your purpose to do what you're called to do, you just keep going. You've got a resolve. I'm going to make this work. God's purposed me to be with this person. God's purposed me to do this thing. God's put this in my heart. This is something I'm called to do. You can travel over tough ground. And there's a bunch of people in this place who have traveled over some really tough ground. And I think it's because of the purpose of God on their lives. Richard, you're one. You've traveled over some really tough ground. But there's been purpose in every step. Amen? Tash, you're another one. You've traveled over some incredibly tough ground. But God's given you a purpose in that. And that purpose gives you strength. True? Your family, your worship. There's so many I could pick on in this place. You're saved. You're not just saved to be rescued and put aside and that's it. Bunch of saved weaklings that couldn't survive in the world. You know, that's what sometimes people think Christianity is. You were saved for a purpose. And God's given you the resolve to get over tough times, to walk through that. We move over hard ground because we have a purpose. Romans 8:37. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Amen? You're purposed. You're saved for a purpose. You've got a revelation of that. It's powerful. The last part of the reason for our sandals is that we are to go out there and we are to share the peace of God with souls that don't have it. Amen? That is your purpose. We're to get out there and to talk to people that don't know Christ. That's our purpose. Don't lose the focus of our purpose. Don't lose, it says in Romans 10:15, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen? We carry a good gospel. We carry the good news. And our purpose as believers is to carry and share the gospel of peace to those around us. Can I just say, people are waiting to hear about the gospel of peace. They might not look like it. They might not act as if they are, but they are. Can we get the musicians to come up?